Yes, good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are looking at some very interesting times, a very interesting chart that has been built by a system of professionals. And this is very interesting. So, anyway, we're going to begin. Okay. And I just wanted to get certain aspects of this thing worked out. They won't let me do an easy zoom. Just jumping from one size to the next, but that's okay. Okay, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand the book of Revelation. Okay. This is good. This is really good. In the book of Revelation, we look at quite a few different chapters. We look at 13. We look at 18. We look at all of these different things. So let's start with 18. That one, I think that one will work at this point. Okay. Okay, range change, okay, whatever. Okay, the Bible, okay, let me kill this for now. Okay, good, now I can see better. Okay, so what we have in front of us is what I call the last day obesity system map. That's what it's called. Now, in this particular chart was designed by, over hundreds of professionals from around the world. And they were concerned with the obesity rate that is sweeping the world. And so they came together to find out what is the cause of this, what is causing this, and what's making this happen. And so basically, when I was working on my doctorate, I had run across a professor who knew about this, and every community and every state and local and federal government is supposed to be solving this problem. So you can look at it on a statewide issue, but it became national and international. And so they were trying to resolve this obesity issue and trying to get all the components that fall into this category that actually contribute to this. So if we can change the flow and the direction of all of these entities that exist, then we can create, we can solve the obesity epidemic, since it's worldwide. It's not local anymore. So it's not a local problem. It's a problem of mass proportion. Okay, so if you look at the bottom right-hand side of the screen, it tells you the media is involved, social, society is involved, psychological, psychological with your mind, brainwashing, or whatever you want to call this thing, a psychic. The economics is involved. Food is involved, activity or exercise is involved, infrastructure of the environment that shapes everything is involved, developmental, what is being developed is involved, biological and medical are all involved in this epidemic that is sweeping the planet. Do y'all agree with that?
I agree.
We appeal to all kinds of ways. All we see is food,
making fools.
All right.
That means it has a lot to do with it, because that's normally mainly what people do. They don't exercise. They don't get out. They sit in front of their TVs. And they come home from work.
Okay, one step at a time. Okay, let's look at that one phase. That's all, just that one phase. Which block does that fit in?
What was that?
Okay, we're looking at one of these things at a time. We're looking at that one element that you just said. They sit down, they don't exercise. What, which one of these boxes or which of these boxes is doing it?
Well, I don't know. I don't talk in front of me right now. I'm not sitting in front of the computer.
Okay, so the one that does that, okay, there's three of us on the line. There's four people. All right, what about the other two? What are y'all saying? Which boxes or circles or elements tied to this system pulls this, makes this happen? Or
can you read off the boxes real quick?
Yeah, okay. Biology, food consumption, food production. Now, food consumption is tied with biology and food production. Then you have social influence, which is tied with food production. Then individual psychology, which is tied to social influence. Individual activity, which is tied to individual psychology. And activity environment, which is tied to individual activity, and then individual activities tied to biology. So each circle that touches each other affects the other. If it doesn't touch it, then it's saying that it has nothing to do with that on that level.
Hey, this one deals with activity environment.
Activity environment. Well, there's no such one called that. You mean individual activity or activity environment? Oh, activity environment. Yes, okay, I see it. Yes,
yeah,
all on the right, the green. The earth.
Yeah.
Now, who's in charge of the activities that are in the environment?
People that create the community.
Okay, and who are they?
Build the infrastructure.
Yes.
Model it how they feel.
Yes, modeling. Mm-hmm. So we have what we call urban planners, architects. All of them are the ones that design city planners, right?
Yes.
Yes, urban planners, city planners, architects, all of them decide on the activity environment that you will have in your community. So if I want to have an environment of, and that's what my dissertation was on. My dissertation was on grading the, what do we call these things? The football, the fields, football field, softball field, baseball field, all of these fields that are in communities and grading them to find out if they're a silver or gold or bronze or iron or failing. So that if it was in perfect condition and everything ran well, then it was like, you know, a gold standard. That's where you want to reach, a gold or platinum standard. Then you have underneath that the gold, you have the silver standard, which is like a grade A, and then a grade B would be silver. And then you would have a C, then that would be bronze, and then you would have a D, silver, bronze, iron. And then you have failing. Okay, so you will be graded on the condition of the fields that these kids are playing in. So if there's hole in there and if it's not kept up, then it would, you know, be failing because it would not be able to produce activity that was created by their environment. If you had parks that were run down, then you had swings, but the swings don't work no more. You had baseball fields or softball, you know, all of these different things. And so, yes, that's what the urban planners, city planners, architects design the infrastructure of the city. and aspects of it. And they design where you have parks, how many parks you'll have, and how convenient it'll be for you to walk to them. Or do you have to drive to them because they're far apart? So all of those go into planning, and those are all run by the state. The state has rules and regulations of commercial areas, and you have residential areas and those type of areas. And you can label them, and you can have people who operate in those areas. So, yes, that's what we call the built environment. Now, why would we call something like that the built environment?
It's an area that's created for people just to do something in. It's created for people to congregate in or to work out in, exercise in. A place that has been created for that purpose.
Okay. So, yes, that would be the built environment of for exercising. Okay. Now, everything that we build that's not natural from nature is called the built environment. Okay, y'all got that? Everything. Highways, houses, everything. Everything we built, planeways, is the built environment. And then you have the natural environment, the one that Yahweh made. So you got the counterfeit and the real. How about that? The one that we set up, that probably has pollution and probably has a whole bunch of issues with it versus the one that was created by nature with all the trees and everything there, and you can breathe and you're interacting with nature and you can grow food and all that stuff. Two different worlds. So that's what we call the built environment. We built it. That's urban planning. That's the architects. We got to design it, the infrastructure, as y'all call it. Yes, that's the – and so we design it for specific purposes. Okay, so we can design it so that there's activity, as we just said, and then we can build it as a food desert. Do you know what a food desert is? Does everyone know what a food desert is? If so, tell us.
Is it a place without, like, organic markets and fresh produce and, you know, just fast food joints and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, that is correct. That's urban planners. They plan that. And then they zone it. They zone it so that it can make sure that you make sure that all you're going to get is what you just said, blood and starch. And we'll make sure that's quick. So that's where you got the McDonald's and all the rest of those, like you just said, fast food joint. Mm-hmm. So they're food deserts, and they don't have hardly any fresh food and vegetables. And if you look at most of our urban cities, that's how they're designed. Most of them, not all of them, because gentrification is occurring, but they're moving out blacks and moving whites into certain areas. They're changing that whole environment. And now where you didn't have fresh fruits, where you didn't have organic markets, where you didn't have moms, where you didn't have, you know, all of these places now, in the city, you have them where they live. Now, they'll tell you it's built on economics because black people won't buy it, so that's why we don't have it. I mean, that's what they'll tell you, but it's all designed by the infrastructure of their environment, the built environment, or activities in the built environment. Now, and I remember when I was going to, when I was doing my survey of the cities in Baltimore, I went to almost all the schools, as many schools, public schools as I can, the Baltimore City Public School, and they hated my guts for doing that. They told me I didn't have the right to do that and all this foolishness. So anyway, I spoke with the teachers, and they were telling me, oh, man, well, I went to one place that they said that they're in the middle of the city down near the harbor on the other side where all they do is just manufacture more pollution, and the people there are coming down sick with every disease. I mean, everybody got asthma. Everybody got a problem. And they said that they're building even more incinerators, six more incinerators in their neighborhood. And this really should be illegal for them to be doing that here because they already have these problems and it's making it worse. And I said, in the city, the city zoned it and made it that way. I said, wow. And their school systems, you know, outside structure. They didn't get a lot of outside activity, and if they did, they didn't really want it because they were just breathing in all that pollution. So it was like, wow. So yes, they are specially designed that way. And so I spoke to a lot of inner city schools because that's what I was dealing with, trying to grade them all and then grading them against other parks and other schools outside. And I remember they always said that in the inner city that they went and they got these schools that the heating didn't work, that the kids had to wear coats in the middle of the winter because the heating system didn't work, the plumbing system didn't work, in the summer the air conditioner didn't work. So it was just nothing hardly worked, but they said that they bought these schools in the 1950s from where it was all white, and the whites moved out, and then they gave it to the blacks, and so they never built it back up, and the white ones got the new school. I said, wow. So I saw all type of environmental injustices being practiced. And it's all built around the built environment, the urban planners, the laws that are governing by the state. So that's why we call, so that's why the Bible calls the state, the government, the beast. So we got three different ones. We got the beast. So let's read it. So we don't, Emmanuel don't, they don't say Emmanuel making all of this up. Okay. So if we read here, let me see which one I want to get to. All right. Well, let's get into some systems. Okay. Before I get into that, let's get back to the picture. Okay, so there we have our environment. Can you see how all of these things are tied together, how they interact with each other? One feeds the other. There's a little arrows in the background. I don't know if you can see them, but all them arrows show you what feeds to what and what feeds to the other and all of that stuff.
Yeah, there's tiny little arrows. A lot of them.
Yeah. Mhm. And so the Bible talks about three different things: the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. Now, the question is, in the Bible, they tell us who is the dragon. But we'll read about that in a minute. But he tells us who is the beast. What are beasts? What does beasts represent in the Bible? Okay, so in Revelation chapter 13, I believe it is. Yeah, right. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, it talks about the beast. All right, there was a beast that was like a leopard. Okay. We could even go to 12. No, this will start right here. All right, we'll start here. Chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sea, the sand of the sea, and saw a beast arise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Okay, and the beast, okay, so we see here we have a beast, right? With how many heads? 7. How many horns? 10. We'll go back to Daniel chapter 7 to find out who these 7 heads and the 10 horns are. Okay, and they had 10 crowns upon his head. And the name written across his head is named what? Blasphemy. Okay, what does blasphemy mean? Blasphemy. That's what it says. And it says the name, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy.
I consider it to mean like untruth, falsehood, lies.
Okay. Now, I remember a text in the Bible, New Testament, that Yeshua said that he was the Son of God. And they said, you commit blasphemy, for thou sayest that thou art the Son of God, that thou art a God, and you are not. You're just a man. So my understanding of blasphemy is for you to claim to be in God's place and that you're God.
Okay.
only so, or that you're in his place. Now, we're going to find out who says all of that and who's doing and practicing it. But anyway, when we go back to Daniel 7, it'll tell us clearly who these seven beasts are that make up the name of blasphemy. Now, upon his name, his heads are the name of blasphemy. So in their mind, they believe that they are something, God, or that they're practicing the Godhead on the planet for some reason. Okay, then it says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear. I hope y'all are getting a picture, a leopard, a bear, and his mouth is out, the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. So now we have, outside of this beast, which has the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, and the body like a leopard. What we see now is that the dragon gave him his power. So now we have two things. We have the dragon and we have the beast. Soon in a minute, we'll see that the beasts represent nations, you know, organizations, governments, and all that stuff. That's Daniel 7 to tell us that. This one here is letting us know that there's a dragon that gave him what? Power, a seat, and great authority. Now, the question is, who's this dragon? Well, we can go back one chapter to Revelation chapter 12, and it tells us who this dragon is. Okay, now if you start off at verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, there's our dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and seven crowns upon his head. And that's the same as almost what the other one was. But this one is a red dragon. The other one was what? A leopard, a lion, and a bear mixed together. Okay? Both of them with seven heads. Okay? 10 horns. And his tail drew the one-third of stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled in the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of Elohim, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. 60 means 3 times 20, 360 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, so now we have who the dragon is, right?
Yeah, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Satan and his imps.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I said we were going to find out who the beast was in the Bible, who the Bible calls beast. Okay, so we have Daniel chapter 7. Okay, come on, chapter 7. And we start here, first verse again. Okay, it says, in the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the earth, of the heaven, strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea. diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof was plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stomped the residue, or whatever was left over, with its feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Okay, then it talks about I considered the horns and all of that stuff. So anyway, we want to hear what he says is the interpretation of this beast. Okay, so we have a beast with how many heads?
Can I say that again?
Okay, we have four beasts.
A beast with 7 heads and 10 tails.
Okay, so there we go. So that's similar to what we read in what?
Revelation.
Revelation. Because it said that it was what? What was the three characteristics of this beast in Revelation?
Lion, bear, dragon?
Not dragon. The dragon gave him its power.
Eagle? Leopard?
Nope. Leopard. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, leopard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So basically what we're seeing in Revelation is one beast is the combination of these four beasts that we're finding in Daniel. Because it gives you the 7 heads, it gives you the 10 horns, it gives you all of that stuff. Okay? So it's a combination of it. It's not that. Okay? But who gave them its power?
The devil.
Right. The dragon, that's correct. That's what we read in Revelation. Okay, so when we read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 15, we'll start there. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the dream, of the thing. These four beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now that word king is also translated as kingdoms. So we look at this as nations. So when there's nations, it's going to make up these beasts. Okay, so now we go back to the first one, and if we're talking about last day events, what country is represented as a lion?
Great Britain?
Yes, it is. What country is represented as an eagle?
America.
Okay, and where did America come from? Great Britain. Okay, so that's why I combined them. So, you know, we're just like an offspring of Great Britain, and we do things together with them. We do things in cahoots because, remember, the Great Britain was the world empire at one time. And then after they fell, we came the world empire. But it was nothing but the British, you know, the beast or the lion moving over to the land and getting wings. Okay, so that's how I understand this to be last day events. Okay, who is the bear?
Russia.
Right. Now, see, now it would be very interesting that the Bible would use language in written back at, what, 40, 70 A.D., and 2,000 years later, these characters are on the scene. Is that prophetic or not? That is very interesting that that's would come up like that. Okay.
Yeah,
so now, I mean, that's why when we look at certain things and we look at ancients, the ancients that wrote, a lot of the stuff that they saw and said is happening today. And we need to make sure we understand that. That's why we don't throw the Bible out. It's an ancient book, and it's an African book. So, but eventually they're going to throw the book out because they're going to say it's written by black people and it's about black people, so they're going to throw it out. So, but anyway, we're not going to throw it out because it's an ancient book to get y'all interpretation of it. So, now, the next one is, now, you notice that these beasts, it says, now, the interesting part of this is that the first beast was like a lion, and he's, you know, going around, and then he has eagle wings. Now, the lion is supposed to be the, what do we call it, the king of the jungle, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what they say on land. And then the eagle is what? The king of the
air. King of the sky.
That's right. So this is a superpower that will have double power. And so we proved that we were the air superiority warship on the planet because we would shoot things in Desert Storm and all the rest of that stuff. They said we walked into Kuwait. I mean, what was that? That wasn't Kuwait. Yeah, we walked in Kuwait, and we walked into, where was Saddam Hussein? That was Kuwait. How was Saddam Hussein?
No, that was somewhere else.
Iraq.
Yeah, one of the two.
Iraq. He was Iraq, right. So they said they marched in Iraq, took Kuwait back, where he took over, and they never, did you know that they never stepped foot in there? Did you know that? They said that they bombed him for, I don't know how many days. They said they bombed him from the 20th century back into the Dark Ages. And nobody lost their lives. Nobody went in there and lost their lives on the fighting campaign. They lost their lives on something else, but not on that. So that's the air superiority of reigning that we were equals, that we literally bombed. We don't even have to go there, and we will bomb you to death. So just recently, we just bombed somewhere. Where did we bomb? We found somewhere in the mountains.
We bombed Syria 59 times and dropped this mother bomb, supposedly, on Afghanistan. And now he's talking smack to Korea.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. So, yes, so we dominate the air. We are the eagle, literally. We are showing that we are doing it. Now, so the bear, it says it has three ribs in its mouth. So he goes through and he goes around killing a whole bunch of, you know, nations and so forth, whatever. Okay, now we got this other power. Two other powers, the leopard with four heads. Now, how do we count seven heads? Y'all said, yes, we have seven heads. How do you count seven heads when there's only four beasts?
I counted seven heads, different heads coming off of each one.
Okay. Walk us through it. There's four beasts and you got seven heads. Somebody's going to be listening and they're not going to follow, so I just wanted you to explain it to them.
Oh, okay. So, at least how I kind of see it is there are four different beasts. Well, okay, so the bird, the eagle for the sky, the bear, which is Russia, who's on the land, and then, then the lion.
No, have your lion with eagle's wings. Wait, let's start over. The first one is a lion with eagle's wings. So there's no eagle head. There's a lion head, one head. Okay, next.
Okay. With eagle's wings. to the lion, right. the body of a lion, then.
Right. We only talk about heads. Let's get seven heads. Let's concentrate on the heads.
I see seven individual heads kind of coming off one beast in my mind.
No, okay. We're not asking you to come up with seven beast heads. How do you get out of these four beasts seven heads? That's all we're asking. I can explain it, but I just wanted you to somebody to explain it because somebody in the audience is going to say, hey, I didn't follow that.
Well, hey, I'm one of the people who don't follow. Let me explain what you were thinking or Jabari.
Seven heads comes from seven nations.
Right, but it's four. It's only four. Four.
Well, they branch off.
Beast. No, let's count them. Leopard. I mean, the lion has how many heads?
One.
One. The bear has how many heads? One. That's two heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
This leopard has how many heads? Four heads. That's six, right? And then a terrible beast has one head. That's seven. That's what I wanted you to say. That's seven heads. Okay?
Okay.
It's not a problem because I know somebody's going to be listening to this and that's what they're
going to
tell me.
I didn't view it in that same way.
Right, and that's why I wanted to count us through it because whoever's listening on the other line, they're going to be saying, well, how did y'all get that? So, no problem. So anyway, we got seven heads in this Daniel, and we got seven heads in Revelation. And the Revelation has the leopard, which is the third beast. It has a body of a leopard, third beast. It has the feet of a bear, which is the second beast, and has a mouth of a lion, which is the first beast. And then it's a terrible beast, so it didn't give it a name. It just said it's a terrible beast. So that's how I've been able to coordinate that one with that one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how I imagine that in my mind, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, because that's all we wanted to know was how to line them all up. That's all. Not a problem. Okay, so just so that people could say, because I referred to Revelation 2, chapter 7 of Daniel, and I just wanted to prove the point that that's what it's representing. Nothing more. Okay, so now we're going to get back to, and so the key was here finding out that a kingdom and a beast represents a kingdom or a nation or something like that. That was the purpose. Okay, so now let's get back to Daniel, and we should find back in Revelation, we identified the beast, right? Right, we just identified the beast. We identified the dragon. We read the dragon is that old devil, right? Revelation 13 told us that. Okay. Now the false prophet or the image of the beast, that's another one. Okay, so here we go. The false prophet is that okay? The image of the beast and the false prophet are basically the same. Okay, so we have this beast back to Revelation 13. Okay, so the only one we're missing now is the. Okay, and so the dragon represents spiritualism, a spiritual entity, obviously. Okay, a nation, a kingdom, yeah, that's a nation, that's a government, you can call it that. And then we wanted to deal with these merchants of the earth, these clowns. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 18. And in Revelation 18, verse 23, it tells us some conspicuous stuff is going on. Okay, so in Revelation chapter 18, let's start with verse 1 first, then I'll come back to 23. I don't want to hit 23 right now because that might throw us off. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. So he tells us that Babylon is not just fallen once, it says it's fallen twice, and has become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So we have three major entities here. Okay? Babylon, the system has fallen. And that's the system we're looking at right here. The system that this thing is tied together, which gives obesity and so forth. This is falling. Our health system is collapsed. Thank you. Okay. All right. So with that, we find it says three specific groups of entities. The habitation of devils, that's one. The hole of every foul spirit, that's two. The cage of every unclean and hateful bird, that's three. So those are that, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, each one of them are containing this. Now, remember, it's a system. That's what the Bible calls it. It's a system. And that's what we are seeing with this food production and this all this psychology and the environment. That's our system of how a system works together to get you to buy and eat and become obese. Okay? So now when we look here, and then it says, the merchants of the earth. Okay. Then it says in verse number 3, for all nations, not how many nations? All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath. So we see that everybody is drunk. How many nations are drunk? We're all drunk. What are we drunk in? Now, this system that we're reading about, that we have as a flow chart. Okay? This system, now this is only one component of the system. We only talk about one component, but the system works. It's a system. It works together. Okay? And I try to identify which of these entities are in charge of different elements of the system. Because if you have a system, you have to have elements. And if you have elements, you have components. When you have these components, they can connect with each other. And one feeds the other so that they can get to their desired place or location. Like if we have a project, right? If we have a project, we have components of this project, and we make a process. So we will have the components, and they have to work together. And then if things don't work right, then we go back and we do what we call a control loop. So we'll sample what's happening, and if we don't like the results, we go back and we make some changes to it so that it can give us the desired results. And that's what a project does. You monitor and control. That's what it's called. Those things, you're monitoring it and controlling and making sure it gives you what the output you want. So here, what we have is everybody is drunk. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornications, and the kings, remember we read about these beasts before, and the kings of the earth had committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now the question is, what system has all nations tied together and all drunk? What system is working with the merchants of the earth and making them rich?
The government.
Through the delicacies. Now, what are the delicacies of Babylon? What is the delicacies of our system today, which we are?
Well, as I kind of see it, her delicacies are nature, it's everything that God put on this earth for us to enjoy. And they're waxing rich because on her, they're just building, people are buying up land that's not even anybody's but God's. And building houses and ripping down everything and making developments and just charging people money, and just taking advantage and not enjoying and not appreciating what, earth is just because it is. We think we're so smart, and we have all these things set up, thinking that, we're indestructible. But at the end of the day, if God hit the earth and just made a wave big enough to cover the whole United States, we'd be done, or any country. So we think we're so powerful, but at the end of the day, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Now, do y'all remember the delicacies of Babylon at the time of Daniel?
The food?
Yeah, probably the same food we have now.
And what foods were they given?
Meat.
Yeah, if we turn to Daniel chapter 1, if we turn to Daniel chapter 1, we see that these children became captives in Babylon. So the Bible is trying to make a parallel to help us understand what, you know, what happened in Babylon, because it gives lots of detail what happened in Babylon and in what's happening in the Babylon of the last days. So if you start there at verse number 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. So this is interesting, that they took the children who were smart and who had knowledge and who had wisdom and understood science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldees. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the what? Wine, which he drank. So nourished them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. See, not Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. Not what it said. Those are Babylonian days. Okay. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So the first thing they did was change their name. So when we come to Babylon, what names are we given?
American names.
Yeah.
American names? Really?
Especially
the European
names. Especially the people that go for, they change their names.
What's that? What?
The people who come over here, they change their names too. They have to.
Right. If they're African, they change their names. Most of them, so that they won't, yeah. And
not only
when we were born here, do we have, what names do we have today? We have all European names. And then when they changed the Bible names, they changed their names to John, to Matthew, to all the European names again. Those wasn't the original Hebrew names. So the first thing is that they must take away our culture, that we help us re-identify of who we are. And the world is falling into subjection to this around the world. They're all giving in to this, and they don't even know it. And that's why they're drunk. That's what it says. All of them are drunk. So they're drunk. They don't even know what they're doing. So if we go back to Babylon, we see that the first thing he gave them was what? Meat, flesh, and what? Wine, to make sure they're drunk. So this is very interesting of how the Bible comparing Babylon with Babylon and then telling us the delicacies of today. So the delicacies of today's is what? What we're reading in this chart, the foods that they're producing, the sorcerous foods that they're creating, the portions that they are having us eat and drink and be merry. And what is it? Most of that stuff is, you know, what? Is the stuff that's forbidden, the forbidden food, the pork, the what else? Eating with blood. So the worst things you can eat is blood and starch. And that's all you have at these fast food joints. Isn't that right? Isn't that the main, that's the main thrust that they're selling?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And this is, but this is what the Bible said would happen. Okay, so Daniel and the three Hebrew worthies, they're not boys, worthies, they said, listen. But Daniel purposed in his heart, verse 8, that he would not defile himself in the portion of the king's meat flesh, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now, Elohim had brought Daniel, okay, into favor. Let me see. I just lost. I just jumped up. Okay. Daniel and the prince eunuch said, okay, and Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. See, who does he call him? Him, the Lord the king. So this, remember, we talked about this lordship before, that people blaspheme thinking that they're God, who have appointed your meat, your flesh, and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? That means, hey, in 3 years when I bring you before the king, you guys are going to look like nothing, and I'm going to be in trouble. Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Because he said the king will cut his head off. So he died, because he didn't do it right. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulp, which is raw food, to eat, and water to drink. And let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portions of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in the matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat, their flesh, and wine that they should drink, and gave them pulp as raw food, sprouts, and lettuce. Sometimes.